Welcome to the Dope Black Woman podcast, the podcast where we share stories of Black excellence as part of our safe digital sisterhood. I'm Leanne Levos.
I'm Roshan, but you can call me Shan.
I'm Livs.
I'm Romantha.
Welcome to the Dope Black Woman podcast. My name is Romantha and I am the community lead for Dope Black Women in South Africa. And I am joined tonight by three amazing women. They are very close to my heart because they are in our community here in South Africa. And they are part of the team that basically founded the South African community. You're part of the very, very first women who joined. But we are here to speak on what we love about being a dope black woman, what we love about being a woman in South Africa, what we hate about being a woman in South Africa, what we celebrate, what makes us the same, and what makes us different. So without further ado, I'm going to ask my first guest, who is Rafilwe, to introduce herself and tell us who she is.
Thank you for having me, Romantha. I am very, very, very proud to be here and representing South Africa to the rest of the world. Rafilwe is a 30-something-year-old businesswoman who also is a mom and a wife, and who's recently introduced to this Doplex space. It's changed my life. I'm just looking forward to this conversation, especially because I've been learning a lot. And through the three of you, I'm looking forward to also sharing, my experience as one of the dope black women in South Africa.
And then on the side, what do you do besides being an awesome dope black woman?
I love cooking big, lots of meals. I don't know how to cook for one or cook for two. I always, overcook.
Favorite meal?
Pastas. Delish. Have you seen these cheeks, girl? Italian dishes.
Pasta gang.
Yes, pasta gang. When things are not locked down, I like to keep fit by running, which has been quite some time now since I have done that. But yeah, that's what I do. Run marathons.
Lovely.
Wow. So I'm Stephanie. Hello, everyone. I think I'm just going to go with my Instagram bio because that is what you, I think that is what you see most of the time when you see me without speaking to me. So basically, I'm a nail varnish slut. I'm a cereal popcorn.
Nail varnish slut.
I'm happy, I think. And I was literally thinking the other day, this cannot be good. But anyways, and I'm obsessed with my hair most of the time. Not that time is not this week.
Gorgeous.
So I'm also a television content editor. So basically, making content for a local national actuality show where we just tell community stories and celebrate the people who are not that often celebrated, telling untold stories. And I love it for the most part. That's me.
That's wonderful. I'm trying to think. I remember my therapist asking me, who are you? And it took me a very long time to be able to answer that because we all tend to gravitate towards our accolades. But I, and that's where I'm going to go tonight. Okay.
Get it.
But first and foremost, I think I'm a digital storyteller. I like to call myself that.
Come on now.
To tell stories. Anything that's in my spirit, it must go out there. The masses must know what's happening there. And we must share. And then usually discourse ensues after that. I am also a video journalist at a national TV station. Not TV station. Well, yeah, TV station, but I work for a specific program under that TV station, news program, Gaan Verslag, and I tell stories through the camera lens. And yeah, that's basically what I do. I love jwala, alcohol, not in an alcoholic way, but in a just delicious enjoyment way, in the feelings that come after. It's beautiful, we love it. And I like exploring the country and the continent. I mean, obviously when the pandemonium is not with us. Mm-hmm. And I also love to dance, and I think I'm going to go back to that. I was telling Romantha today that I need to get back to moving my body. And I really, really enjoy dance. So I think that's where I'll start and get strong and fit and agile. And then we'll discuss losing weight later.
Yeah, I want to join you on that one because the marathon's not for me.
Yeah, me too. Do you dance at home? Do you go to a studio?
So I used to, just before lockdown, I've always gone to move into dance. Mapatang, it's in by the dance factory in Newtown.
Yeah.
But they had closed down. So there was another one. I found some Soweto boys. But then lockdown happened and then I had to stop.
Okay.
Delicious stuff. It's really fun.
Yeah, we should have a virtual dance class.
Definitely want to do pole dancing, guys.
TikTok dance is even a fun.
That seems difficult, eh?
Pole dancing, yes.
It's not. Some dances are really easy and fun, but it will take you 2 hours to learn the thing. Oh, you mean, okay, never mind. I thought you meant just,
just no, stuff she's for the young dancing teams.
Yeah,
pole dancing.
I definitely want to.
Yeah, that's Sarah's stuff.
I definitely want to try pole dancing.
Core strength
definitely.
Stuff.
Definitely. So, a question that we ask all of the women that come on our podcast: what makes you a dope black woman?
What's that? Is that the country's byline or what slogan that says "Alive with Possibility"? Is that what South Africa is? Hey, quiz. That's how I feel. You know, every day I wake up. And what makes me dope is that I always focus on, you know, opportunity and how to make the most of my existence. You know, I know that you're not promised tomorrow and you're not promised that you live, you know, until you're a certain age. So I try to live the hell out of this life very loudly. Very boldly, and try to impact people's lives, because I believe that, you know, in this very country that's very much alive with possibilities, you know, there's a vast scale of, you know, classes and types of people. So, you know, I always try to look at where do I fit in and how can I help pull somebody up. And help them, you know, help myself and people coming after me pay it forward. You know, so that's what I believe makes me dope.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, it's definitely, and I always call it my superpower, it's my energy. And so I wear it on my sleeve. It never lies, even when I don't want it to show that day when I'm not feeling 100%, everyone knows.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's very much on the optimistic side. Mm. I love people. Even I think we can all agree, hell is people. But I draw energy from. My energy can only be as powerful as it's received. So I really enjoy that about myself. It's one thing that I'm very, very sure of myself. I'm very self-conscious and insecure about certain things, but my energy, it doesn't lie. And I think I love the honesty and the authenticity of it all. So I think that's what makes me a dope black woman.
Mm-hmm. It is dope. It is dope. And a big part of the dope black community is energy.
Love it.
Energy, energy, energy. Because every woman in the space comes with their own energy. And you can just feel it when you come into the space, whether it's in our catch-ups or whether it's in the WhatsApp group. You can even feel it through a text. And so that's how high we vibrate in terms of our energies. Being a dope black woman is all about energy. So you definitely are dope.
Thank you. As are you.
Stefani?
Tando, I like what you said, where you just, if you're not feeling well, you show it. I think what makes me dope definitely is doing things for myself. Because obviously you grow up and you were told that you can't do this or you can't do that. But at the same time, what makes me dope is whenever I surprise myself, you know, and also the fact that I can admit that I don't necessarily do good in big spaces or a lot of where there's a lot of people and that I'm reserved. I think there's power in that as well. So, in a nutshell, I think that is what makes me dope. Definitely.
That's very cool. I think I've experienced you in a space with a lot of people, and you were so honest about it and vulnerable about it. You were like, this is not my vibe. And I was like, I would have never thought Steph. But I from then on, I knew how to assimilate and move around you. So that's cool.
Yeah, it's that vulnerability.
Yeah, I mean, one-on-one, I think I'm great.
What do you deem worth celebrating as a South African woman?
The responsibility, I guess, and knowing just how broad we can carry things on our shoulders, much as it's can be to our own detriment, but we've got some other special flavor of resilience in this country. I see it and I feel it in all the spaces that they are. I celebrate the fact that at a moment's notice, any one of us knows how to make a plan. You know, not necessarily that we are going to do it, but we are always solutioning at any given point, you know, whether the country's up in flames, whether things are not done, whether there's a crisis, you know, on behalf of others and things, South African women will know how to make a plan and solution the hell out of it. So that's something worth celebrating because, yeah, I think it resonates with also Black women, you know, across a few other countries or the diaspora that, you know, we can never be damsels, you know. I know those are two extremes and there's a spectrum, but you will never find any of us, you know, unable to move ourselves out of tragedy or a situation that's left us, you know, depleted, so to say. So that's very much worth celebrating.
You touched on something that's really important and that's really, if you look at the modern day South African women now, that is exactly what we're trying to move away from. We are saying we don't want to be strong anymore.
Yes.
We don't want to be the ones that make a plan.
Yes.
We don't want to be the ones that worry about A, B, C, D, E. And we don't want to be the ones that plan out the life of our family. We need partners to lead, right? And so I think it's important because I mean, maybe we can touch on that a little bit later, but the soft life trend that's going on now is exactly something that stems from that. So if you've done that long enough, you just say, nah, fam, I don't want to be that anymore. So it's beautiful to see that you're still celebrating that because women are rejecting that in the masses at this stage.
I guess it's in the, having the option to, because, you know, you can be spoiled, you can be, you know, soft, be in the spaces where you are, you know, you wake up day to day, you are being served, you are all of those things. But as much as we know, there's not that much situations that happen that way and they are permanent. I like to embrace all parts of me and it's the yin and the yang, you know, the two go together because you don't want to, we all know the age old story of, you know, a woman that's married for, I don't know, 40 years and then the husband runs off with some mistress, you know, if you've been in the situation where you know, exactly. If you've been in the situation where that's all you've known, you have to start afresh. I mean, from, you know, getting your own place and getting things to basically make a living for yourself, as opposed to having the option and the person that's in the marriage or in a relationship or as a partner to you, understanding that you chose to be there. You don't absolutely have to be there. And they treat you as such because at any moment's notice, you can just like, I'm out, peace. You know, as opposed to men that use that to be like, where will you go? But if they know that, hey, you know, you are credit worthy, you can sign your lease the next day, I think that conversation kind of shifts or changes in how they treat you.
I think this ties in with what you say to a certain extent, Rufilwe, is that what I do love and celebrate about being a Black woman is that we do celebrate other Black women. We are always rooting for each other. Yes, maybe here and there we don't, but I think that is also because we know there's only space in certain spaces for X amount of us. You know what I mean? But in general, that's what I love, that we do celebrate each other. And I think also when there's a problem that then community comes in again, like we sort each other out, we help each other out as much as we can, even in the smallest of ways, whether it is a kind word, you know, or just like, are you all right? So definitely that for me, celebrating each other is something worth celebrating. I mean, that we can do it publicly also.
Black women know how to celebrate each other. That's one thing. Across the world, we know how to celebrate each other with an insult. We know how to celebrate each other with a question. We know how to celebrate each other with one word. Okay, sis, we see you. And oh, Stephanie will know. Coloured people have a very intricate way of complimenting. I can just think from the top of my head, if you're looking good and you're dressed up, especially in your household, if you live with your parents, they will ask you, "Fantajera," which basically just means that, where are you going?
I did that today. I literally did that today. Looking that good, you know.
It's like, where are you going looking
good? It's almost like an insult.
It really is.
It's an insult.
It is an insult.
You can't judge each other with a bit of an insult. Yeah, basically.
And I know this is also very popular in Nigerian culture. Nigerian culture is also a little bit like that. So we know how to celebrate one another. That's one thing. We all spoke about what it means to be a dope black woman in South Africa. But I think to break it down even further, let's have a look at womanhood, right? Because even that in itself is very intricate. Even that in itself is not something that's linear. So if you think about being a woman, what does that mean to you? And when did you step into it, sort of?
Sure. That's a very deep but very good question, because I don't have a recollection of when I stepped into the womanhood. I know I was very much and still pretty much a part of me. It's very what people term tomboyish. So I was a late bloomer, you know, dating and femininity and things like that only reached me when I was in tertiary, I think first, second year thereabout. But being a firstborn from two parents and both sides, there were no other grandchildren. The responsibility part of who I am came pretty early on. And I don't think it would have been the same had I been a boy child. You know, when the siblings came, I mean, I learned how to cook and things like that when I was 10. And at the time, I don't know that I'm learning. I mean, I'm grateful now because some of those things are life lessons, right? To know how to look after yourself. But I feel parts of them were not necessary because I became low-key a third parent to, you know, siblings and things like that. And I know this is true for many women across, you know, the world, where you assume the role of a nurturer and a person who takes care of others before you're an adult. So I recognize that in hindsight that the femininity started there because of the expectation. I mean, you are here, you can be here while we run errands and look after your siblings or the young ones. So I try very much today, you know, raising four boys to really make them alert in the type of world that we are living, because it's not necessarily taking care of siblings or things like that. The first burden is the fact that, you know, they're not yours to take care of. but the second thing is that it shouldn't be the fact that, you know, you are firstborn, you are a woman, you're a boy child. You know, life skills should be taught equally to kids when they come into, you know, an age that's responsible. So yeah, my femininity, I think, suppose started there. But me tuning into myself and the sensual parts and my soft parts, that all came later, much later. Yeah, you know, yeah, when I forgot to climb trees or got over, you know, scratching myself over the fence and, you know, I don't know, having to play with everything and look like where I've been, you know, when I got over that, it was literally very late. I remember I punched a boy because he told me I looked really pretty, because I just, like, I don't want that at the time, you know, because I couldn't identify, you know, exactly, you know, where do I belong in the world. But yeah, femininity came much later. Yeah.
It's weird. In the group, in the Dope Black Women men group recently, I don't know how recent it is. It feels very recent to me because it's all that's consumed my head for a while. But there was the discussion about the new terminology that's been implemented to be more inclusive towards trans slash non-binary slash gender non-conforming individuals who are becoming parents. And that conversation really shook what I've known myself, I suppose others, to be womanhood, to be motherhood. So I'm very much, I don't think it's confusion necessarily, because the rabbit hole that I've gone in to uncover the truth, to unlearn some things and relearn some things, has led me to be enlightened in certain aspects. But as it stands, I'm very much, I'm having to redefine what womanhood is for me. Although at the same time, it's also solidified what I've always been sure about. And that for me is, I think Urefilo was just speaking about femininity. I am obsessed with femininity. I love it in all forms. I love it in its softness, and not in a frilly, frivolous way, but like in more of a, like a gentle way, in a nurturing way. I just love soft things, man. And femininity comes with it.
Why are you like that?
And for the most part, well, at least for most of my life, that's womanhood is where femininity has been innate, so to speak. And I know now, I mean, I've alluded to a whole lot of other avenues where you can find femininity, but for me, my womanhood resides definitely in my femininity, in my softness, in my gentility, in my kindness, in my openness, vulnerability, just willingness to do more, to be more, and not in an oppressive way, but in a way that I choose, because I have the choice to do it. It's a lot, and I know I've said a lot, and it might not mean something to anyone, but I'm sitting and I'm comfortable in my being unsure right now how to articulate what I mean. But as it stands, you must just take this mixed masala of words that I just shared with you, because there's a lot going on there, and I don't want to force myself to have a succinct answer, because as it stands, where I am is still figuring out how to articulate it better. But yeah, that's where I am.
I was gonna ask Tando, actually, do you find that, you know, the gravity at which you feel and express your femininity varies in different situations? Because like I said, if I have to look after my siblings, they will not get me soft, you know, they will get, you know, Miss strict and you know, the harder parts of me. But if I have to, obviously, be with, you know, a loved one, you know, kiss, hug, and all of those things, that I do feel like a girl. But throughout the day, there are things I need to do, which obviously I channel the other energy. Do you feel that that's your experience as well?
Absolutely. Like, and also for me, because I'm a in finding my comfort in my lesbianhood, in my lesbianism, it just sounded weird. But in, like, it was a journey of, like, I started out as a feminine person, and I felt as though I wasn't visible to other gay people. So in order to be visible, I tried to exert a more masculine demeanor, just to be like, hey, just so you know, I'm also out. Yeah, I like the carpet munching.
Not carpet munching.
But with growth, I realized, no, man, I don't vibe, don't love. Yes, I did. I did do. Yes, but with growth, I realized, no, man, I don't have to assert myself in a masculine way, although I do possess masculine energy, and I absolutely love androgyny. Mm. So there is a lot of code switching my femininity and towing the line of being androgynous, but leaning more towards the feminine side, just so that, I mean, sometimes it's needed. I think we as human beings, we all move, especially Africans, black people, black women, we absolutely exert this energy of like both the Gogos and the Mkhulus. And I embrace it.
What traditional things that constitutes womanhood to you or in your mind has just been things that have been passed on from previous generations? And it's not really been something that you discovered for yourself.
I think definitely getting married, having a kid from my side, passed down. But I think it's also because, and doing the best for your family. But I think it's also because back then our parents, mothers didn't have much options. You know what I mean? But I think for me, when I've moved away from that train of thought, obviously it's getting older, it's being exposed to different people, different cultures, different communities, and also not, like, you mean I'm at the age which people be like, oh, when are you getting married? Or not even that, not even getting married, don't you want kids? You know, so it was ever since then that I had to ask myself, but what is this womanhood? And for me, it's not as deep. It's something as simple as wearing a red lipstick, a bright lipstick. Then I will feel, woman. You know what I mean? Like simple things, like even simple things. And being a straight woman is having a guy look at me, having a guy come. You know what I mean? Just very, very simple things. So
that's what she said, or just
that's what you said.
You know what I mean? So it doesn't have to be as deep as, like, you know, I need to paint the living room this color and the kids' room need to be like, not having a household. You know what I mean? It's not, I don't think it's, for me, that's not it. Maybe that was something that I aspired to when I was much younger. Not so much anymore.
Right. Just to add on Steph's point, I think when you started out, you were talking about how culturally, I'm not sure if you were saying the expectation to get married and bear children. And for me, being a woman culturally, and I think of it because recently I was supposed to go home before Gaudeng was shut down, lock it up. but I was supposed to go home for like traditional things. And I had to reckon with the fact that things almost came to a halt just before they locked it down, just because a lot of what needed to happen came from women. And I was going to have to support the rituals that were supposed to happen financially, physically. I was going to have to drive down to KZN to go do those things. But ultimately, I had no say. No one wanted anything. I couldn't say anything because the decision lies with the men, the older men in the household. And I just thought there was, I don't know, I was kind of a little bit pissy about that. I mean, I think I'm a little more than pissy. It's like, you're more than willing to take my money. You're more than willing to demand that I show up physically, regardless of my mental, or if I have the mental capacity, the emotional labor that I'm going to have to do. Oksala, you don't tell us what happens. We tell you, and you need to step in the line and follow it. And it's only because you are unmarried, and therefore you are still a child. And that, for me, it just traditionally and culturally, there's so much that needs to be dismantled there, because, wow, it's always a fight. Always. Yeah. Rufilo, you were, yeah?
I feel what Thando is saying, like, with every fiber of my being, because, you are having a similar yet vastly different experience to me, because I recently also had my grandmother pass away, my last living grandmother, and it is the women, me and my sisters, that ran the show. Because, number one, the men, this same grandmother was, you know, coddling them, so to speak. They're all grown up. I mean, they're all adults, but from her pension money, they would live and their kids would live and things like that. And I mean, I just became in action mode partly because of the childhood I told you about. I just did and did and did and did. And then we buried her. And then on the day, I felt like nobody cares about me and how I'm feeling. I mean, I've been there for everyone. And then, like, I literally was walking, like, leaving to come to my house because I'd been there for, like, 4 or 5 days. And then I turned back. I was like, actually, I'm going to call a family meeting for these guys because I was so enraged. And I called them to order and I said, listen, you know, I feel like we need for you guys to show up, like, in ways that, you know, well, tradition expects them to be the leaders, right? But all of them have been, I mean, fetched by us, you know, dropped off by us to do this, you know. It's that whole thing that, no, you made it in life, which I don't understand because I don't cease to be a child or your niece or nephew because I suddenly am married and I have a decent job. But they literally didn't show up. Only, you know, because I understand they were distraught because, you know, my grandmother raised them very soft, soft. Like, it was enraging me. And then I had to sit there and say, I don't want to offend anyone, but we need for you guys to show up. Like, listen now, me and my sisters and our husbands could, like, punch the lights out of us. And then you can say, I'll call my uncle for you. And it's like, that one, definitely.
Which uncle?
You see.
I first have to go fetch.
You know what I mean? Because he can't make it here by himself. So, yeah, I don't like, and I like the fact that they're in charge at the same time. But it's as if, for life always has to favor them. You always have to mold yourself as a woman to what suits them. Like, I have to now be a big sister to my uncles.
Yep.
And then if I'm not married now, I have to listen to them and give them money. It's like, you know, either way, I'm fucked, basically.
We bury the brunt. Shoof.
And I feel like I touched on it a little bit earlier. I feel like this is exactly what sort of launched us into saying, I'm sorry, I'm going to be a princess. I'm going to be a flower. I'm going to be a feather. You don't strike a rock, you strike a feather. Someone said that on TikTok, that's not my words. But so I wish that was my word. When you strike a woman, you strike a rock. No, we scratch that out. And so we want to be feathers. And we are so emotionally, physically, psychologically, spiritually sad as women. Because we're just exhausted and we're
also spent,
We're spent. We're stretching ourselves in every aspect of our lives. And so I think maybe that brings me to the next point, because then definitely people will have an understanding of why we are so exhausted as Black women, specifically in South Africa. What are the things that you just absolutely hate about being a Black woman in South Africa? I mean, we are the majority, so you can basically just say as a woman in South Africa.
As a Black lesbian woman, the fact that we coined the term freaking correctional rape, as well as like femicide in the country, those words didn't exist before, but because we're so good at raping in this country, that's where it stands for. We have to have a special kind of name for a special kind of rape that happens only to correct lesbian women. Like, it's, I absolutely find it deplorable and abhorrent that that's the kind of nation we are. So yeah, it pisses me off and I can't.
Sure. Yeah.
I think it's definitely having to watch your back all the time. Yeah. Basically, like what happened to me today and asking the questions. So I was at this shop and one of the guys helped me out.
Not today.
Yeah,
it's not a long ago story.
You know,
today.
They take your, you know, the little box and they carry it for you. And usually I'm just like, oh, no, I've got it. And then, like, oh, this guy scooped in. But he literally walked to my car. I was behind him. I'm like, how do you know this is my car? No, I was standing there. I'm like, yes, he might have just been standing there, but living in the country that we live in, it's probably not that simple. I mean, and this is not the first car story. Another story was, so you park your car and you walk to the office, right? Won't by the end of the day, this guy working on a construction site, it sounds like such a cliche, but won't this guy tell me, oh, you're the one who drive that and that car? Now I'm like, oh shit, now I need to change my route on the way to work. You know, so it's that, just having to watch your back.
Constantly.
Yeah. All the time. And sure. That, you, the back of your friends. I mean, your friends having to send you, even when they're in Cape Town and I'm in Joburg, sending you a message, look, yeah, I'm going to go here and there with so and so and so.
Your Uber ride. Sending a friend.
Oh, huh? Constantly. Like apps have started developing safety mechanisms for women, especially, and targeted here in South Africa. And I think it really isn't any good that we work in the media. Well, three of us, work in the media, and we are constantly bombarded with all of these gruesome stories and all of the mechanisms in which they are trying to find new ways to rape us, trying to find new ways to rob us and mug us and make us targets. And you know what? Sometimes it's not even just outside elements. It's inside your house. You're not even safe with your intimate partner. Statistics will show it. All you have to do is Google femicide South Africa, and the stats will speak for itself.
The reality is, as a black woman in South Africa, I should be ready to die any day, anytime, anyhow. Whether I'm inside my house, whether I'm walking the dog, whether I've gone to work, the reality is that I could meet my death wherever I go. Whether I'm at school, sure. Whether I'm in the principal's office, whether I'm, pregnant with my partner's child, I could find myself hanging from a tree. So... that's my reality and all our realities, I guess, in this country. That's the setting of, I guess, our lives and our futures in this country. And what will it take to change? Because, you know, how many years later I think now with social media and having everything, the microscope on everything, instead of becoming less... You know, you see, you hear the stories even more, like you are saying in your industry. You get to hear first about, you know, a body being found. And yeah, that trauma alone, I can't imagine it. Because you know that could have been you. You passed that road yesterday. Or your sister lives down that road. So what does that mean? You know?
Yes, like adding to that, I was in a conversation with a friend a few years ago even. And... she mentioned that, you know, who can track her phone is her husband, right? And then she said, like, this might even be a mistake because you never know. Like, it might be your husband that's killing you and he's the only one. Like, if you look at statistics, he can track her. He has, I don't know what you call it, track or iPhone tracker or find a friend or whatever. And he's the one who has access to all of her things. But then she was literally thinking, but oh my, what if something happens? He's the only one that will know.
Sure.
So, yeah.
That's
yeah.
Wild.
I mean, for me, even, you know, being a grown woman and whenever I go out or go away for a weekend or whatever the case might be, guess what my mom still tells me? I'm a grown woman. Please be careful.
Oh, because, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Ugh. Careful of what?
Yeah, it used to be that, the people used to look at you like, oh, you are not married, so you are, you know, not safe or not protected. But now people are staying single in order to save themselves because, wow, you know? Yeah.
And this is our lived reality in South Africa. And, you know, when we hesitate and take a pause to think about what makes us celebrate being a black woman in South Africa, you know, this is the pause. This is all of the trauma we have to filter through to get to the actual good stuff. So, I think we spoke about safe spaces and, you know, part of Dope Black Women's motto or mantra is, for us to create safe spaces for women to just be. Spaces where they don't feel like they have to look over their shoulder. They don't necessarily have to watch how they act because they might be violated. Spaces where, you know, we come to a space with an open mind, knowing that we might disagree. But we come to a space and we can say, okay, I didn't know that. Yeah. And now I know that. And I can either take that.
Yeah.
Or I can say that's for you.
Not for me.
I'm not taking that on. Yeah. Not for me.
Yeah.
And so I think in the same vein, I want us to maybe touch on the importance of places of safety. Where do you find places of safety? Mm. Is it with family? Is it with church? Is it with, you know, where is it? Is it with the lover? Is it with yourself? Where do you find it?
Mm. Sure. That's so deep right now because, you know, peopling can be very exhausting. You know, for workspaces, you are interacting with people and not everyone's aware of how of an unsafe space they are in their person. And some of those people are related to us, live with us, married with us. And sometimes, or there's this gravitation towards or the whole movement promoting alone time. Like I was saying, that some people keep single to be safe because peopling, especially with people unaware of, you know, things not to say or things not to do in order to aggravate or violate your personal space, because number one, you are their wife or their girlfriend and they expect things from you. It can be quite tricky. And I'm a mother of four, and I know that my children sometimes are not a safe space. You know, when I start talking to them in another voice, then I know I need to literally leave everyone here and take a drive or, you know, go somewhere. So it's the part where you are done giving, you know, it happens daily. I mean, for like I said, wife, mother, you know, even if you are employed, you are done giving your employer, all of you, and literally, you just want to free your nipples and they're telling you about deadlines. So I don't think people are aware enough of how unsafe they are. So my most safest place right now, of course, it's got to do with the fact that, you know, maybe, you know, wedded bliss and whatever, but it is with my partner because of, you know, we both in the dope black spaces and we've done so much mental health, wokeness work together as a couple because recognizing around us that, hey, you know, friendships are costly, relationships, parents, and, you know, everybody's just subtracting from who you are. So we give in to each other and yeah, we've got a safe word to give each other private time. Because it does get that heated also, where you are tendering to each other or you in each other's spaces or you're missing each other during the day and you want to be in each other's space in the evenings. But yeah, it's just not possible. So I think solitude will always win, you know, if you, of course, are in charge of your mind, because in solitude as well, a person can leave their mind to wander into oblivion and end up being, you know, unwell. So I think the most important thing is to be conscious over anything, like pay attention to the ups and downs throughout the day. You will find, you know, where you are mostly yourself. If it's maybe in your car, you know, if anybody enters my car, they'll see if they're not met with a bra, you know, or a big fat chocolate wrapper, you know, things like that, then yeah, that's where I feel like I could be myself, because I also don't want to feel like I'm eating a chocolate and there's an athlete running here in the house talking about, hey, you know, I'm eating a chocolate again. I'm like, leave me alone, you know.
Dead calories.
Yeah, you see. And yeah, I have to appear a certain way, even on social media, maybe for work, you know, like I teach mindset work, but I don't always feel like the person that I'm projecting. And I also now have gone into teaching exactly about the off days and the days where all you want to do is, you know, have a joal. And
absolutely.
Whether it's 10 in the morning.
Always and forever. Every day.
Allow yourself that, because I think the two go hand in hand. You know, having your shit together and allowing yourself to fall apart to yourself first. The two go like this. You can't be high all the time or low all the time. You have to embrace all the parts of you. Yeah.
Love.
Tanda, what do you think? Where's your safe space?
Therapy.
Yay. I'm so happy to hear that.
Definitely therapy, friendship, group. And like it's so safe. I'm so comfortable in like making plans with my friends, and then literally at last minute be like, sister, I actually cannot. because I think, who said this? Evelyn from the internet said, if you are agreeing to do things, I lied.
Evelyn.
It's my mom's name.
Yes. Oh, really? You should follow that girl. She's insane.
Is that a handle?
Wild.
No. Internet.
Yeah. Evelyn from the internet is her name. I think she said, when you agree to do something that you don't want to do, that's not being nice, that's lying. So it's like very much that kind of,
it's a betrayal of self.
Oh, it's violence against your most authentic self, and also lying to your loved ones. Just be true to yourself, be true to your loved ones. So I definitely find safety in those people who I can be absolutely honest with. Even when it's uncomfortable, even when I feel like, I've canceled you on you 4 times in a row, but that's where I am. So what must happen? But I am able to do that without them inflicting guilt on me. I have my own guilt things that I have to work through. But yeah, definitely that. And I used to find safety at church, but church is no more. So
Stephanie, maybe you can tell us what your safe space is.
Definitely at home. On my couch, doing whatever, as long as it is on my couch. Sometimes the shower, guys, for a good cry. Definitely feeling better after that. And also, I have one friend. We've been friends for years. You know, our friends come and go. We've been friends for years. We've seen each other through a lot. And I can always just say, where people will judge me otherwise, definitely judge me, because we sometimes say things that are not, you know, PC. Definitely with that friend. And for me also, with the years, my parents, our relationship has changed a lot. And I think also being away from them, and also it being lockdown and COVID-19. So for me, my parents is also like a safe space. And I'm lucky. I'm lucky in that regard. Actually,
I love that. I love that, because one would expect, you know, on some level for them not to be. So I love that, and I'm grateful for you about that. You know, I also have a best friend who, I think I let loose with her the most. We have a language that nobody can hear what we're saying, you know, all the way from 18 years ago. Yeah, we just have this, yeah, we can talk with expressions, and I just have to call her, and we've got this ridiculous laugh. Once you do that, then it's over for us. And I feel as though, you know, she like, people can't, the two of us in one space, it's just too much. So I think, you know, the universe, you know, conspired, and she works in Polokwane, and I'm in Joburg, because, yeah, no, in one space, it's not very productive, you know. But we schedule the getting together so that we can give each other the wellness, you know.
I think it's a beautiful thing, because even me and my friend, I'm here and she's in Cape Town, and it will be that early Saturday morning, I'm awake at 7:30, I'm going to call you. I don't care if there's somebody next to you in bed, I'm calling, video calling.
No, your best sounds answer. About right. Yeah,
I don't care about right. That swell cozy. You know?
I don't care a damn.
We were talking about it before, Steph and I, about, actually Steph, I and Tando were talking about friendships and shooting your friendship shot. And I think it just brings me back to another question that I had in terms of women and women getting along. We are in a space of a bunch of women who come from different walks of life, who are either married, divorced, single, in a relationship, not dating, you know. And even then, there's some more layers. And we get along quite fine. I mean, if there is a misunderstanding, we deal with it amicably. And so what do you think of this notion that women can't get together or don't get along?
The patriarchal lie. I'm kidding. I think it is, genuinely.
Exactly. I agree with that. Yeah, it's a patriarchal lie, and there are reasons, of course, why they would say things like that based on our own. There's a part about, you know, women groups that can become toxic. There are things that we also, because of maybe our differences or our similarities, I'm not sure. But they want to put a spotlight on that only. You know, every weekend you can see on your timeline, you know, things that women have done.
Please.
Projects that women have completed, companies it's that women are running together. So the evidence is more than, you know, yeah, it's more than there. It's more, makes it easier. And, you know, have that, I don't even want to call it as a tolerance, but an authenticity to just want to be in the space of people that may not be the same as you. I think that's for me, that's a big trigger. If a person feels as though they have authority over how somebody should live their life, you know, and yeah, the minute a person is conscious enough about themselves to know that, I cannot speak for anybody else but myself and have control over that, it's very easy to get along with that person, because you guys can, you know, share ideas and collaborate and understand that you're coming from authentic spaces. So that's what I actually appreciate about this group, because sometimes, you know, it'll be the big paragraphs and the heated topics, and then sometimes it'll be the banter and the jokes, and we all appreciate how different we are. So I think, you know, that's what works well within our community.
And also, I think, I mean, when people say that, is it because I have the feeling, I could be wrong, I don't mind being wrong, that you say that just because these women find safety in each other, and those are the people that I hang out with, and humans will human, there'll be jealousy, envy, all of the human feelings that you'll have, but because I find safety in women, just for me, for instance, I do not have men in my life. So then are you going to say women are toxic and they are whatever, just because...
Not the voice.
That's all I have. It's, women are all I have in my life. So then now you're going to say, yeah, it's women. That thing comes pre-installed in a vagina. Mm. It does not, please. It's really just... I have my own traumas. I have my own things that I have to work through. And it just so happens that she has a vagine or she identifies as a woman. It's not necessarily something that comes pre-installed in a vagina. It absolutely can happen with men as well. It's just my life just so happens to be designed in the way that I only have most majority 90% women in my life.
And I mean, a difference in opinion is healthy, I think, also.
Absolutely.
Very much. And when, I don't know about you guys and the men that you know closely, you know, but they are always happy having superficial hangouts, you know, above the surface types of relationships. The minute it gets deep for them, they have very few people they confide in. They're very close to individuals. So whereas ours is the opposite, hey, we wear our feelings and, you know, our vibes
on
and
our
things
sleeves,
like that.
Yeah.
So that is why you will find, naturally, they tend to appear to have better friendships. But if you tear those friendships apart, are these people really your friends, you know? So that's why it's hard for them to call out each other if they're doing bad things, because they're like, you know, yeah, it's like, okay, but he's my friend, you know? Friend, you know, and I don't want to appear as being a person that oust, or you know, like, what do they call it when you tell on somebody? You know, I don't want to appear to be that person.
Snitch.
Yes, yeah, a snitch. Snitches get snitches. I'm about to say, but yeah, I think that the types of friendships we have, we're always looking for deeper connections as opposed to our male counterparts. In my observation, I don't know if you guys have experienced the same.
Right.
Definitely, I have.
Okay.
Especially the older you get, eh?
Yep. Yo, that age, the layers of being here on this planet will add up, and they will cut out your patience.
The experience, the years of experience. You know, I always say the 21 plus X amount of experience.
Yep.
Sure, okay.
Counts for a lot, guys.
Humaning.
Yeah. And while we're on the topic of safe spaces and loving, what is love like for a South African woman?
Money.
Do we experience enough of it? What does it look like? If it wasn't money. What does love look like to you? And do you
security?
Yes, come on, tell us.
I watch, you know, dating shows only because it's part of my other job to keep in the know what happens in the relationships of people and how people get together. And yeah, if our beji, sorry for you, because that is a big, that's a huge thing to women in South Africa. I don't want to lie to you, you know. Women don't want to be poor. They don't want to struggle. They don't want to...
So what do you mean by ubechi?
Give out girlfriend allowances, you know, pay for my way, basically pay for my weave or whatever, you know. There is the position of male provider, whatever, but I think for people to get there, the two of you have to be at a certain, you know, level. But to start the relationship, women ask uyabecha na, which is like, will you give me money? And this is first date question, by the way. If you watch Date My Family, they ask. Guys, women love money.
What kind of woman am I?
So it's not just the nice to have the money, it's like...
They want it, they demand it. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I want to say it's a prerequisite because I get the fact that, you know, you guys can grow together and maybe he's got a few more years on him and he earns more, whatever. But then at the beginning of the relationship, you watch Date My Family. If you watch Single and Mingle, if you watch those shows, or like we are Jola, I'd be like, no, but I got bitchy. You know, things like that. Like, you know, I cheated because he didn't give me money. You know, that's a reality with a lot of South African women. But if you examine it closely, you will find that there are economic factors obviously attached to all of that. But it's become a go-to thing. And it bothers me so much because what it means is that the broke guys are basically out for the count. They're going to remain single until somebody hires them. But yeah, a huge part of how relationships starts in 2021. I know, but he's in which country? We're not first world country. What has happened in the country for the past 2 years? There are all sorts of factors. That's what I'm saying. Honing in on that beginning. I feel like, yeah, on some level, there's the rise of the influencer as well. I must appear like I've got more than I have. So on the girl side, that's very, you know, and then the guy has to find a way to let this person know that I can provide for you, even if they can't. And then, yo, it's bad.
In a big way, they tie their masculinity to being able to provide. And so they fuck themselves over. And they subscribe to a patriarchy that does not benefit them or us. You go and work for a flashy car, for a flashy outfit. And then at the same time, you say, women are just interested for what I have. But that's all you gave us. That's all you put in the display window. We're going to come into the shop because we saw things in the display window. So put some other things in your display window. Maybe then we won't see you for your money. But yes, I'm very interested to know your personal perspective on love.
I mean, I don't know if I can tie it down to being a South African woman specifically. I think this might be something that women would want in general, or this is what I see love to be as companionship. Also, don't come love me, but you driving around the whole weekend in your flashy car, I must sit next to you while you drive me around and show me things, doing things together. Like, for me, that's such a big part of love, is having a companion, a partner. And obviously, yes, providing for you, I can provide for myself, but it would be nice if you could also pay for an extra holiday a year. You know, I could pay for my one and you could pay for an extra one. I don't understand this whole notion of if you love me, you will buy me Prada or Gucci or whatever. For me, that is, I don't know if it's because I'm not from the city, but for me, it's a very foreign concept. Show me you love me and buy me X, Y, and Z. And I think a big part for me when it comes to love, it's definitely also you know, loving the people that I love and care for. Also, if they are good people, I'm not expecting you're going to love my friend that treats you a certain way. You know what I mean? But a big part for me is also loving the people that I do and treating them with the same respect. I mean, I think it's not too much to ask, is it?
What do you think of love and being loved as a Black woman?
I'm listening to you guys, and I think in my spaces, so I don't, again, to reiterate Steph's notion, I'm not sure if it's a South African thing, but I do think it's very much in my circle of friends. We are, most of us are in our either late 20s or early 30s, mid 30s. And there's this like weird air of, I'm just thinking, I think there's about six people or six close people that I know who are, we're all in companionships, but no one is wanting to take the leap into a relationship. And also the idea of loving with a free hand, being able to explore. It's not necessarily polyamory, but rather just like keeping your avenues open. And I think it comes from just being jaded. We've been here too long and we're tired. And for most of us, I think also we're the first few generations where we can get married and we don't know what it looks like for us, LGBTQIA plus gang members, and most of us in like Black queer people. It's scary. Like, I don't want to present like my gay things to my family. How's the lobola going to work? Don't nobody want to hear like, oh, are you lobolaing that person? Is that person going to lobola? It's like, I don't know. I've never been married. So rather just stay clear of that avenue. So it's just, it's not confusing per se, because I'm very sure of who I am. I'm very much, I know I don't have the capacity to hold space for another human being financially, emotionally, mentally right now. And so we are all settling for companionship, but it's also very like dangerous, and like we know we're playing ourselves. Yeah, we know for sure we're playing ourselves, and it's going to have to come to an end at some point. But we are very comfortable in this lie, I think, we're telling ourselves that it's fine. I mean, it is fine for now, because I can't do anything else, but I also don't want to be alone. So yeah, it's this weird space where everyone is like, okay, you know, let's vibe and see where this goes, but I don't want it to go anywhere else. But okay, if the ancestors tell us it's going that way, then we will follow. But like, it's just, it's bizarre. And I'm just experiencing it with so many people around me. And I'm like, is it a gay thing? Or just, do we need to be healed? Do we have hectic wounds? I'm not sure. But that's where love is for me right now.
Beautiful.
I was about to say, I don't think it's just a gay thing. I think it's that companionship is a very important component. Like, I mean, I think even for some of my personal things where it's like, you're not really a thing. This is not a thing, actually. But for those moments that we are together, right? It's like, at least you have...
I'm vibing with this and I like
you know, exactly. It's like, even if it's just for these next 2 days and then for the next 3 weeks, it's like, it's just me alone. But then again, like for this weekend, you'll have this body with you doing things and loving you and giving you the attention that you want.
Yes, it's so crazy, because even when you go to, if we, like for me, it's been confusing just because like some friends, okay, this is before lockdown, everybody, but like you get invited to something as a unit, and then there'll be people that you don't know you meet there at the soiree or whatever, and it's like we have to discuss how are we introducing each other. Well, sure enough, I can introduce you as your name, but I don't know, with gays, they are very just forward. Someone will be like, oh, okay, then well, I'm entering here. And it's like, no, I'm seeing someone. Like, just like trying to find the language and how to label the thing has been very interesting. So companion has seemed like the fitting word. But yeah, that's where I am, and I'm liking it. And I'm feeling guilty for liking it. And I'm almost trying to find spots where this won't work and this is bad and I'm playing myself and girl, you lie to yourself and just wait for it to just blow up in your face type thing. So yeah, that's what life's looking like. But I'm enjoying it. Listen, I'm having fun. So that's all that matters right now.
As dope Black women, part of what we believe in is redefining things for ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're always in the spaces to learn and to learn so that you can expand your own horizons and your own frameworks and so that you can color outside of the boxes. And I think a big part of what we do as women, and the reason I asked the question about love, is because there's so much value being placed on a woman being loved versus a man being loved. If a man is not being loved, he's just living his best life. He's just, you know, no one looks at a man and says, oh, you're not wanted.
Oh, you say that. I saw a tweet that asked, guys, if Bonang, I think Pearl Tusi, Nomzamumbata, Tusobedu, were married, do you think there'd be global peace right now? And I said that, I was like, Magenge, no. Hey, if we are truthful, I don't know.
And a lot of the women in the group said no.
It's a no.
And this is a different conversation about marriage and about how very often relationships hold you back. But it is there's a big list of considerations to make for you to excel in your career versus you excelling in your career while you're married or with kids or in a relationship. You know, understand there's a lot of balls to juggle and as much as we preach you can have it all, let's be realistic. There are certain expectations when it comes.
You will drop the ball somewhere.
Exactly. You will drop the ball somewhere and you'll feel guilty somewhere. But my question coming back to love is my question is basically centered around how much value do we place on others' love versus our own? And a big part of what you guys answered, I think, gave us an idea, right? That it's important for us to color outside of our own boxes that we set there for ourselves. And if you're going to sit and feel some type of way about these new boundaries that you've set, it's perfectly fine because it's not a norm, right? And it's new to you and you're still learning and you're going to make mistakes and you're going to feel guilty and you're going to feel horrible and you're going to feel excited at the same time. You're going to feel butterflies.
All the delicious things, the forbidding, the loving, it's coming, it's there, it's not there, I don't know, it's confusing. Oh, it's delicious.
So it's beautiful. It's beautiful to see that we have such a wide variety of what love looks like. And we're saying we are setting our own rules. And yes, we are like a baby calf that's just being born. Legs a little wobbly, but we'll find our way. We'll find what works for us. And we're not going to let age, or right. We're not going to let our career, or we're not going to let our sexuality, we're not going to let any of those things stop us from exploring all of these avenues. And so I'm very blessed to have you guys in the space. And just before we depart, I want you each to tell me, what is your wish for South African women? What is your wish for women in general?
Money.
basically in terms of where we were as women, where we are now, and where do you see us very shortly?
Without getting philosophical, I think looking at the climate, and you began with it, Romantha, about us saying, you know, no longer Bogot or this and that. I think there was a time when those things were necessary. You know, and what I wish for South African women is for them to assert themselves a lot more in terms of what they want, you know, speaking up in terms of what they want and stopping at nothing to go and get it. We've just spoken now about love, you know, money, or the, you know, people wanting to simply, I just want a companion for 2 days, that's it. So, you know, I feel as though you should be able to say that out loud safely, you know, and not be judged or be seen as, you know, you are whoring or something like that. I feel as though we need to be speaking up and feeling as though we can. You know, when it comes to the whole, you know, soft life and things, I wish first we can obviously, you know, afford and be able to, you know, be self-sufficient in order for you to feel comfortable in your soft. You don't want your softness to belong to somebody else. You know, that whole blessa blessee mentality was the reason why I, growing up, refused to be soft, because I just couldn't identify with, you know, touching somebody that's, you know, double my age. But, you know, it came from a good place that time. And then I made sure that I pursued each and every goal that, and all the opportunities that came my way. But now that I know that I there is that side inside of me, it's been fun exploring my softness, because I know, you know, my life doesn't depend on it, or like I cannot lose it just like that, because, you know, I've been able to give myself that time to be a base. So in the country that where, you know, things like women empowerment, you know, buzzwords and things like that, I hope people still chase to empower first the self. And I think holistically, not only financially, about mental health and, you know, all of those good things that allow you to flourish. And spending time with yourself and understanding exactly what it is that you're asking of another person. We have this culture in this country. We want we demand, oh, I want a man like this. He must be like this.
We place, long list.
Yes, we place very low emphasis on what we are offering, because we haven't spent time with ourselves to understand exactly who I am. That's why when somebody throws a word, it triggers you, or, you know, it you bend out of shape. And you don't understand why. So I really wish, you know, we all do the work necessary to affirm ourselves and assert ourselves and speak up and pursue those things that we want.
Can I add on that, or go after a few way? So my wish is just for South African, Black South African women is courage and braveness. Because I think it's so, and even if I look at myself, you always look at other women and you think, ah, I wish I could do that. I wish I had the courage. I wish I was brave enough. So I, for me, my wish is courage and bravery, just to say what you want, to go for what you want, to not take a back seat, just to have the courage to speak up and to say what it is that you want, what you need. As simple as that.
Beautiful.
I love that, because I feel like let me piggyback off Steph's point for real. Like, I think for me it's also very basic, simple things like just confidence. Sekelo shared something in the group recently about how she's never really wanted or like had the ambition to be a millionaire, and that's freaking okay. And for me right now, my main thing at this moment, I just want freedom and my time. Those are the two things that matter most to me in a very wild way, and I need the courage that Steph spoke about and just the bravery to be like, yeah, this is what I need and want right now, and fight for it. And get it. And it's really so that I can do other things that make my soul sing. So, because things don't exist in silos, obviously. So I just, outside of safety, obviously, so that we can be alive in order to do all these other things, definitely just confidence and just surety in ourselves that ain't nobody gonna tell us shit. We be out here, and what works for me, it doesn't have to work for you. Mm. And that's fine. Yeah.
That we are the woman that we think we are.
Yes. Listen to me now.
And I thank you.
Please, and thank you.
Thank you.
We truly are our ancestors' wildest dreams. And I couldn't have dreamed of a better first episode for the Dope Black Women space in South Africa. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your stories and your input. I value every single one of you. And for those of you who want to follow us, please go and subscribe to our podcast and all of the platforms. If you want to follow us on Instagram, we are at DopeBlackWoman1 on Instagram and Twitter. And watch out for us on The Space. We'll be regular features on the Dope Black Woman podcast. Just before we go, where can people find you?
Oh, you can find me Tando Shoppe on Instagram. You can find me Tando Shoppe on Twitter. And then I've got a YouTube channel where I talk nonsense. It's Azania Realness. Sometimes I talk serious stuff. So just, you'll get a mix myself. Go ahead, follow the girl.
I love it for the mixed masals.
Yes.
I'm Refilwe Kameli, at Refilwe Kameli, I think, on Facebook and Instagram. And where I would like for you to follow me is on my coaching page, which is at Mindset Mistress, where I do address wellness when it comes to mindset and being able to pursue the best version of yourself as a woman. I coach women only. The business was founded, you know, and it's only focused on women. So I do hope that a lot of you follow me and check me out.
Okay, you can follow me on Instagram. It's at Steph's_playground, where you can see me have popcorn for lunch.
Okay, Olivia Pope.
That's why.
All right, and that is it from us. Check us on the next podcast, where we bring you some content on South African women and their experiences. Goodbye. Bye.